It's the end of the world as we know it, and we feel fine. American Horror Story is back. We are talking about season 8, proving that the end is really the beginning. We're talking about the first episode, The End. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Welcome. We are back!
We are back! Yes. I'm so excited!
We are talking about American Horror Story Apocalypse, Season 8, Episode 1, The End. I'm your host, Elena Jordan, and joining me today, very excited.
Yes, hey everyone, I'm so excited to be back for another season of American Horror Story. I'm your host, Ashley Allen.
Yes, and I'm so excited to be joining you ladies for my first time ever, like on American Horror Story. I'm your host, Kayla Renee.
Welcome.
Yes. Welcome.
I'm so, like, already. Yeah. Our chat is just like already. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah, and buzz, fittingly, it's yes. Buzzing yeah. For AfterBuzz. And if you guys want to join us in the chat, be sure to do so too. We're going to be every Wednesday here at 10 o'clock at live streaming. So
yes.
Ashley will be keeping up with the chat too.
I sure will. Just a quick shout out. I'll give two people shout outs. Hello, Nas and Christopher 90. You guys have been starting before us, so we love that. Keep it going, and yes. We will be giving you guys shout-outs throughout the show.
Yes, and then you can also keep up with us, too, on Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, what did you guys think of this first episode kicking us off this season?
I didn't want to be caught in Santa Monica. It was already, I'm just like, Santa Monica's like in our backyard, and I'm like, oh my God, like the world is ending. The world is near, but I was so excited. It started off like already with a bang. The storytellers
literally
and like the writers of the show just kill it every time.
Absolutely. Yeah. In traditional American Horror Story style, I was confused. I was excited. I was like, oh my God, there's just so much stuff going on. So I am enjoying what I've seen so far of this first episode.
Yes.
I also like that the pacing on this one is a little bit slower because I feel like they're not going to burn out. Like, I feel like some previous seasons, the only time that we've ever had any sort of complaints about the show is that they kind of run out of story before they have the rest of the season. I feel like Roanoke kind of had that.
Yeah.
This one, I feel like they really have it planned out, and they have a really solid through line just because they're setting everything up so slowly. So, and two, having all of these different callbacks and these different throwbacks to previous seasons, which at the end of the episode as well, we'll be doing a little segment crossing over, talking about some crossover things from previous seasons and how they tie into the episode. But kind of kicking off this one, we had Coco talking to Brock on the phone. She's an aspiring Instagram influencer getting her hair done by Mr. Gallant with her assistant Mallory when they find out that there is basically widespread panic going in because there's going to be a huge nuclear missile that's going to hit. And again, in true American Horror Story fashion, they have to get the little like relevant culture thing where they're like, it's just like Hawaii when
you know, the sad thing is that there are people just like her out there.
I was just about to say that. Like, it's so fitting because everything that was happening in that, just like that first like 5 minutes, is so relevant.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've all been around people who literally act like that. You know what I mean? Like, the world's ending. Oh, what? Finish these last couple curls. Like, it's okay. Like, no, we need to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And Coco was definitely like, no, not trying to leave at all. Like, she was not trying to believe it whatsoever.
Until her dad FaceTimes her and lets her know that they're sad that her family, she basically sees them get blown up in front of her eyes. Scary. But there's going to be 4 spots at this outpost. So Mallory's in, her hairdresser is in, because why not? And then Brock isn't going to make it in time, so he's bringing Nana, too, Nana Evie. And then I love that scene of Billy Eichner standing as Brock as the plane's going over.
He's just looking so dumbfounded.
The only thing that was weird to me, though, was they had this whole big thing of the plane and nobody's flying it.
Yeah, that was
so
really
why
weird.
Didn't they crash? Like, why didn't they ever come back to that?
I was like, they're just going to leave us on a cliffhanger. Like, now we have to figure out who flew the plane.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That's what's weird is I'm like, okay, so, and then we see, like, the explosion outside of the window reflected in her eyes. We'll talk about it in predictions later, but I'm assuming they're going to probably come back to that. They have to.
Okay. It's like, what? They have to revisit that, of course.
Then we come into the intro, and previous seasons we've kind of gotten little hints of what to expect for the season in the intro.
Yeah.
This one, we're seeing snakes, we're seeing apocalyptic things, we're seeing explosions, but then we're also seeing angels and demons.
Like a little baby.
So that'll probably tie back in to Murder House.
I wonder. Mm.
I don't know. What did you guys think about the intro this season? They're always so weird.
I'm always so confused by it. I'm like, not till halfway through the season, I'm like, oh, okay. I get it.
Yeah, I'm like the same way. But at the same time, I kind of got a vibe of like, remember like The Hills Have Eyes when like that whole like radiation thing happened? And so it was like all the like the kids who were like born after that because the moms like inhaled all the chemicals and stuff in the air. So it was like you had like mutilated babies and like deformed kids and stuff. So I'm like, I wonder if that's going to kind of play into like how they're gonna tie that into like how the characters are gonna turn out. But yeah, I'm like, I don't know, we'll see. We'll probably find out like at the middle, like the middle of the season.
I love that Hills Have Eyes reference. That's perfect. Yeah, it's always so confusing to me whenever they have it. But one thing that is never confusing to me is how AfterBuzz lays out all of their shows and organizes everything.
Elena, let me talk to our AfterBuzzers. So you guys, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve our television fans. But you guys, we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, do not be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out all of our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in our comments section and we'll thank you on air. But for now, thank you guys for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN TV Talk.
Yeah.
Now, the way that this episode is laid out, too, is pretty cool because they keep having the title cards that'll let us know where in time everything happened. So when we come back from the first commercial break, it's 40 minutes before the bomb. And we're seeing what's happening with Timmy, Timothy.
They're a new family.
And Campbell. Yeah, the Campbell family, which the people from who are taking everyone to the outpost are only taking Timothy. They're not taking, presumably, his twin brother that is fraternal.
Yeah.
Because they say, like, they're not identical. Yeah. So they're saying that they're only taking people that have a specific DNA. He just finds out that he's getting into college, and then...
That broke my heart.
I know.
Oh my God.
He was so excited to be like, what is it, Bruins? Like, the UCLA? He was supposed to go to UCLA. Oh, I feel bad. Poor Timmy.
Poor Timmy.
It was like the whole family. It was the whole little moment was just heartbreaking. The mom was like, "No, don't take him." And I was just like, "Oh, God!"
And then just and then him crying and sobbing as he hears the explosion, and he's like in denial that his family has just been blown up. Super sad. Then we cut to 2 weeks later, where he and Emily, the girl who is in
another
this
random
holding
girl,
cell, with him, who presumably also has some sort of special feature in her DNA, which is why the cooperative is taking them. So they are taking those people and people who have enough money to buy a ticket, which is where Coco ties in.
I wonder how this whole genetic thing is going to tie into place, because like when we I guess we're going a little too fast, but I was like, the whole thing that Langdon is doing the test, it didn't even seem like it had to do with DNA. So I'm at like all. I wonder how this genetic makeup is going to, like, play into the whole season. Because I'm just like, why are they there out of, like, you know what I mean? Like, Timothy and Emily just look like they shouldn't even belong there.
Yeah.
Because that's also just what they've said and, like, what Wilhelmina Venable, which also just amazing name.
Yeah.
They always come up with the names. Like, yeah. Their names are so catchy. Like, who comes up with this stuff?
The costume and the names were so, like, Lemony Snicket's to me. Like, I was like, what? Wilhelmina Vendable. Like, I love it.
It was like Harry Potter and, like, Lemony Snicket.
Yeah. So they're at Outpost 3, which is this fallout shelter, which is from a converted subterranean boys' school. Which we'll talk later what we think that might mean, but that's interesting that's a thing. So the cooperative has these plans, basically. She says they're visionaries and is explaining the hierarchy to them, mm-hmm, that they're purples, so they wear purple, mm-hmm, and grays are the workers who
are lucky to be there.
Yeah, we're grateful because the other option, I guess, is death. Nuclear Holocaust. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, I mean, tragic. That's pretty horrible. So, yeah, so they're saying they can't ever leave the building. There are set rules.
Yeah.
You can never leave the building. If you leave, you can never come back. And you can also, no copulation. No, so can't hook up with anybody. Which seems like an odd rule to them, because...
Odd and unrealistic.
Yeah, it's like, what? I'm sorry. Okay. And then I also love when she's like, cocktails are at 6:30. There's no excuse for tardiness if there's nothing else to do. And it's like, I mean, fair point.
True.
Where else
fair
are you gonna point. Be at?
I'll give you that. But then Timothy takes a shower and he has this 666 on the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That pops up, too, that we just hear this creepy voice, mm-hmm, that tells him to beware. So that's we know creepy. That there's some sort of supernatural element that's being brought in to this.
Yeah, because then it disappeared.
Right? Yeah, because then it, like, vanishes.
Yeah.
And then, meanwhile...
The house is
haunted. Yeah, I know, right? It's like something trippy is happening at this, like, former... boys' school.
I know. Yeah. I feel like there's like another spirit shelter. That's like living in there. That's like watching over everybody, like in like an eagle eye type of thing. Like he might like be a like a higher. Myrtle.
Yeah. So then we also even creepier have the carpenters calling occupants of interplanetary craft playing on repeat. And Emily walks out in this full gown, and Timothy's in his tux.
Yeah, they look so nice.
Yeah, they look so nice.
For their little dinner.
But Mr. Gallant, Evan Peters, is bitching, saying, like, look, the song has been playing over and over and over, like, on a loop. What is happening? Like, what are we missing? This has to be, like, as he calls Satan Spotify.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be telling us something with this. And we meet Dinah Stevens, who Adina Porter plays, who absolutely
she's amazing. Yeah. She kills like yeah, oh my she God, kills every character.
I'm so excited. This is like this former talk show host that I'm like, oh, I can't wait until there's going to be an episode that they dive in with her.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Can't wait for that one. But they get served dinner, which is this little vitamin cube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like Jell-O.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's, like, my nightmare. I'm like, no. I would be starving. Which, I'm with Coco. If I'm paying $100 million, you better have, like,
I'm a foodie. I need a whole steak and potatoes and asparagus in my dessert.
The funny thing is, Emily, she was, like, chewing the cube like it was a steak. I'm like, what are you chewing so hard? This is, like, just
She had to turn lemons into lemonade. I guess that was like the only other option.
Yeah, she was making me hungry the way she was chewing. I'm like, whoa.
Can I know what they say? A mistake is always a mistake.
Right.
Oh.
But there
we go.
So we have Coco flip out and get slapped by Miss Venable, who's like, look, we've got rations for 18 months. You're lucky to have this. We're going to probably have to cut into this if our situation doesn't change. Mm-hmm. And then they're saying, so what is our situation? And then there's a perimeter breach, and the carrier pigeon shows up.
randomly. Like, how randomly, there's
no government anymore. Government is completely shut down. Like, everybody's dead, basically. The few that are left are starving.
Yeah.
Three outposts have been overrun. They are the very last of civilization. And I love the way they say, this whole time you thought that our system was a rock, when in actuality it's a water balloon.
Yeah.
And it only took 2 weeks to shut down. What do you guys think about that? Like, do you think that's a realistic timeline?
I don't know. It could be, though, because, like, I don't know. With everything going on in the world, it's like you really can't put anything past, like, anybody anymore. Like, exactly. Anything can happen at this point. So. Yeah,
definitely.
I'll give you that. So then, really throwing a wrench in the mix, or I guess a Geiger counter into the mix, they're saying Mead walks in, who played by Kathy Bates.
Yes.
Queen.
Marvelous.
Just walks in, and she's like, okay, so somebody has broken the rules. Somebody's gone outside.
Yeah.
And they're going to infect everybody. We need to figure out who it is. They immediately are going to say it's Timothy and Emily, and they're like, no, it's Mr. Gallant and Stu. Who, poor Stu, we see just briefly.
He was just
poor
so random
Stu,
there.
I know. The aptly named Stu is brought in, and they are beaten, basically, and cleaned.
Scrubbed
down. Mr. Gallant is clean, but Stu is rendered dirty. So he begs, please don't send him through it again. And instead, they just shoot him in the head.
It just looks so brutal, because it's like, have you ever been, like, rubbed with, like, a brush? Like, a regular, like a hard bristle brush? You know what I mean? So it's just, like, imagine just being, like, scraped, like, several different times by that. It's just like, ooh, I can't even imagine. But, oh, poor Stu. And then he got turned into Stu, so.
Yeah.
That was quite delicious.
Yeah, that's the...
According to Nana.
Yeah. The rough part, too. And then we also know that Mead and... Miss Venable, we see them have this whole conversation where they're saying, you know, we're the only ones who matter. Mead has been working for this organization for years and years and years, and it's difficult for her to latch on to Venable's new plan that we are assuming they'll dive into later and explain more, but that she's basically taken over. They're a couple together in secret. And part of their secret is, that they give a treat of the bonne bouche, which ends up as they yell, as Andre yells, the stew is stew.
After he finds his finger in it, he's like, is this a finger? Like, no. So disgusting.
All signs point to stew, including the finger.
Quote unquote,
literally
stew.
Pointing to stew.
Look, you're on fire tonight, girl.
Come through, pun.
Eating up like that stew. But gross Nana Evie just eating all of it, talking about how good at taste.
Didn't she say, like, she compared it to, like, a soup that she had, like, back in the day with,
she's always, like, name dropping.
She's like, I noticed that. I was like, she's definitely dropping names of, like, famous people that she used to have, like, you know, encounters with and brunches and dinners and whatever with. So
funny. Last time I was a cannibal with Natalie Wood. It's like, geez, woman. So then... calling occupants of interplanetary craft is continuing to play as Andre is calling out Nana Evie, calling her a monster, and she's trying to say that, no, it's chicken, because their rationale is if the meat was tainted, they wouldn't have served it to us.
Yeah. Right.
If they killed him because he was tainted, then, you know, then that, and that's... rationale that makes sense. They just don't know that Mead actually turned the Geiger counter, the sensitivity, up to 10 so that they could fake it to make it seem that poor Stu died in vain. He didn't do anything.
I probably wouldn't have drank this stew either. I probably would have had the broth, but I wouldn't have ate the meat.
I'll pass on all of it. Mr. LeVon James 007 in the chat said, stew is the stew. They just needed some fiber. That's what they needed. That's what it was.
Protein, man. Protein, fiber. Poor stew.
I've never had human before, so I can't relate.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
I'll definitely.
Apparently,
that's a hard
it tastes
pass.
Like chicken. I don't know.
Ooh. I hope not. Look, I don't want anybody to feast off of me.
Yeah, no,
I know, right? I'm like, ooh, no. But Emily notices that the song has stopped. Mm-hmm. And then it changes to Maureen McGovern's The Morning After. So Mr. Gallant is like, look, it's been the same song for two straight weeks.
Yeah.
This just changed. This is a message. This is the cooperative saying, look, we're going to come for you. Don't give up hope. And they all lose their minds, yeah, jump yeah. up and down. Hallelujah. Cut to title card 18 months later.
I was
later.
About to say that. I was like, it was weird to show that it was like 18 months, but it's just like, no, there's no change. There's no hope. Like,
yeah, no. No. Yes. Same song, The Morning After, still playing. And then we get them saying, you know, maybe it's time to eat somebody.
Oh, no.
Just an arm. Yeah, and then Timothy starts narrating too, which I guess we're going to have, I don't know if we're going to have different narrators or if it's always going to be Timothy. It's going to be interesting to see where this kind of new character is.
I wonder if they're going to make him somebody who's like really like a prominent character in the show, because it's like, okay, Timothy has like a lot of points where kind of like the camera is bouncing back from like him and like Evan Peters, and then it's like going back to him and like Emily's story. So I wonder how they're going to turn into being somebody like higher up.
Okay. It has to be, I would think, because they have him narrating this, like, random part, like, in the middle, where he's saying, like, the nuclear winter finished off everything that the bombs left. But we only get just a brief bit of him narrating, which is, it's an interesting setup. But they go and they're rationing their kisses, he and Emily, what a week.
They're a cute little couple.
I think that's cute.
They're like little high school kids. Yeah. Like, oh, I love you. Like, let's pass notes.
I mean, I think I'll probably be doing the same, because, I mean, you have
what
to
What else
stay.
Is there to do?
Yeah,
I know,
you have to stay human, have some type of human connection.
Yeah, like, and you also don't want to get killed. So it's like, well,
partner up. They came in together. Look, might as well stick together.
The only thing that sucks, they're also rationing. Venable tells them, look, we're down to, this is our last breakfast, we're cutting back to one meal a day. You're gonna have to live off of half of a cube.
Ooh, I would have lost it, y'all.
Oh my god. Dinah's like, stay strong. I would have been like, no, get out of here. Like, exactly. I straight up would have been like, all right, cut off your arms, I'm eating it. Yeah, like, we're having like,
there's
no salad,
there's no crackers, there's nothing.
Right.
Bits of cheese,
it's not
nothing.
Into it. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm like, this cannot be it.
Before they can really have a full-fledged freak out, the alarms are going off again. There's a perimeter breach, and there's horses and a carriage coming in, and it's Michael Langdon as the song Tonight You Belong to Me starts playing, and he says, tells them to tend to the horses as he goes and talks to Wilhelmina or Miss Vendable.
And it was Mead who went out there with the horses, right?
I don't know if it was Mead or if it was somebody. I couldn't tell. Or like the bodyguard.
Oh, you know what? I think there was like two figures that were out there, and then she followed like shortly after.
Yeah, okay. I think so. But he says, he comes in and he's basically like, look, three of the outposts have already been overrun. The same thing is definitely going to happen here. Mm-hmm. There is one safe place. There's a sanctuary that we can, I can take everybody or I can take nobody. Yeah. I'm here to test and decide who should go. And it's intercut with his horses being shot. And him finally saying, those who make it live and those who don't end up like my horses.
I was wondering, I was so confused by that, because I was like, did he just give a call, like, to kill the horses, or was this already planned to kill? Like, I'm like, how is he going
to
get back?
I was like, give the bodies to something that, like, drags the horse body away, like, so it's like, what the hell is that?
I don't know. Langdon is, we'll have to see. Langdon has something up his sleeve. He's a little sneaky character.
Yeah, something. So do you guys have any last thoughts on this episode before we dive into some crossover things?
Not that I know of. I'm like, this one, you know, started off like real brief. We have to, you know, test the waters real quick. So, yeah, I'm like, we'll just see. I'm like, just you have to wait pretty much until like the next one. So
good introduction. I like all of the characters so far. So let's see what happens.
Happy to see familiar faces, as
yes.
always.
Yes, yes. Now, this is a little segment that we're going to do because this is a unique season that they're really, really pushing that this is going to be a crossover with Coven and with Murder House. Mm-hmm. So the first kind of tidbit that we get right off the bat is Michael Langdon, mm-hmm. who we know from Murder House, is Vivian Harmon and Tate Langdon, dead Tate, have this baby that they say is going to be the bringer of the apocalypse.
Right.
So we have the character show his ID badge. And what's interesting, this one too, his ID number, the last three numbers are 666.
I didn't even catch that.
And his signature looks kind of like it says Lucifer. Yeah, if you look at like when he holds up the ID badge, if you pause it right when he holds it up, it's like a whole string of numbers, and the last three numbers are 666.
Good eyes, Elena. I didn't even catch that. Wow.
So it's like, yeah, so I'm thinking that has to be connected to something.
Yeah.
Probably connected to the 666 on the mirror. I just don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like, is that going to be like, what's up with Timothy? Like, and what's up with this twin?
Maybe he's not really a twin.
Maybe.
Like,
I
maybe
don't know.
Maybe he's adopted or something?
Well, because they have in Murder House the baby that ends up being Michael Langdon was a twin, because remember it was like weird thing where it was like her husband had was one of the fathers, and then there was Tate was one of the fathers, and then when she gave birth the first baby didn't make it and ended up dying and then staying in the house with the whole Harmon family.
Okay.
Ooh.
So it's like, so what's up with this other twin? It's like, it seems like there's some sort of relation to the twin.
It's like, could the other twin be Timothy?
No.
Maybe.
But it's like their age looks different, though. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We have Nas in the chat said that 18 months equals 6 plus 6 plus 6.
Oh,
so,
look at
I
that.
I don't know.
Wow.
That could be something.
That's a good one.
Look at that.
Good eyes, Nas. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if they're going to go in like increments of like 666.
We'll have to keep our eyes on that.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
little titles at the bottom, the little months.
See, I'm going to have to keep, like, stepping notes. I'm like, I can't keep up. There's so much going on.
So many
on.
Little things to keep up with. Wow. Our viewers are just, like, on it, though.
You guys are great. We love you guys.
Yeah. Oh, I'm into that.
Yes.
See, I feel like they are just going to keep having all of these different connections.
Aren't they?
Everything's just going to tie in. I love it. I love that they have all of these different connections, and Ryan Murphy always has all the seasons relate. But this one especially, if you guys, too, pick up on any little details and things, be sure to tweet us and comment
let
us know, and we'll talk about it on air, too.
Absolutely.
Not just in the chat, because we know some people can't listen live, but
definitely.
We'll chat with you all week.
Yes.
Keep it coming. So, do you guys want to dive into some predictions?
Yeah, let's
do
it.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about some...
And now, you're After Buzz TV.
I'm honestly just, I'm waiting to see what this test is going to be. That Langdon is like, how he's going to be judging people to see who's going to stay and who's going to, like, you know, be killed off.
Yeah.
So that's like the only thing I'm like interested to see, like, what this test is going to be about.
Okay.
I'm like, that's all I can predict right now. It's so early.
I'm really interested in Miss Vanderbilt's character.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, she's coming off as an authoritative person. But usually when someone is like that, that means that they have some sort of insecurity for whatever reason. So I'm interested to see if that's true with her, and if so, what it is.
And, like, her weaknesses.
Yeah.
Like, something's going to break her, and it's like, we have to figure out what it is.
What her kryptonite is. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see, too, if it ever ties back, if we ever see Brock again, or if it's just like, Brock is just done.
He's just vanished
like,
with
if
everybody
it's just
else.
That, if it's, like, if he's dead, or if there's going to be a tie-in, because you never know with this show. Like, some things are just red herrings, where they're like, oh, just assume that it's going to come back to this, and it doesn't. So, I'm interested to see what all the tie-ins are going to be and what they're setting up.
He could come in as, like, an apocalypse character. Like, say, like, the radiation got to him, but then he, like, lived through it, you know what I mean? So okay. He could just come back as, like, some deformed type of thing. But Coco's gonna, like, lose it. But I'm still, I wonder how long Coco's gonna last, because she's already, like, the annoyance, you know what I mean?
My God.
So it's like,
yeah.
I wonder if they're just gonna, like, get rid of her just because, or, like, how long she's gonna stay.
She might stay around. No. Just to annoy us.
The comedy relief.
Yeah.
I will say some of the comedy in the very beginning with her character. Amazing.
Instagram angles.
Yes. Yeah. I can't wait to see more with her and Mallory and
her juice. She was like, you have to take a quick sip of it just to act like you're drinking the juice. Like, it's so typical LA right now. Like, everybody's into juicing and Instagram pictures and angles and their videos.
And since they have it set up in LA and Murder House was in LA, I'm interested to see how they tie that in, too. If they're going to go back to the house, like, post-apocalyptic somehow.
Ooh. Okay.
We'll see. Ooh. Yeah, like, good prediction. Post-apocalyptic Murder House. We'll see.
That's a good prediction, girl.
Now, we don't have to wait too long to predict what's going to happen in the next episode.
Yes.
Because we have a double dose for you guys.
Double whammy.
We're going to sign off here, but be sure to tune in because we're going to talk about the second episode of American Horror Story as well. But where can everybody find you guys?
Yes, I'll start first. You guys can follow me on Instagram at @theonly_KaylaRenee.
And you guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @AshleyReedAllen.
And you can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at @ElenaJordanGirl. And you can find us all here at AfterBuzz TV.
Yes.
Be sure to rate, comment, subscribe, give us that thumbs up, and tune in next week. And also right after this show.
Yeah. Refresh your pages. Refresh your YouTube pages.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz
you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. AfterBuzz TV.